God is light. God is truth. God tells us all that we need to know for life and godliness. And God has welcomed us into a relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the light of the world. We looked at Him being light and God being love. That He brought His Son in love. He demonstrated His own love by sending His only Son, not just to live a righteous life, to fulfill all righteousness, but a sacrifice had to be made. Payment for sin had to be made. There had to be a judgment. And rightly so, it was upon us. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, as Romans 3:23 says. But God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. God is love and God is light. And we've been looking a lot at what this light looks like, to be in fellowship with the Son, to confess our sins to the Father, maybe even confessing to one another. This brings about cleansing. As 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 speaks of, a clean heart, as Psalm 51 and David stated, Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me. It begins with confessing, to being in the light, to saying the same thing about our sin that God says, and to know that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. What a beautiful promise. This light that God has given us, this love that God has given us. And the second sign that we're going to look at here in 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 24, is this idea of loving one another. Loving one another. And the highlight of this text, it's in two parts, but it revolves around, and this is how we know love. Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, rose again from the grave. This is the definition of love. Jesus became for us the sacrifice. Love starts with sacrifice. So that's the question for us this morning. When is the last time you made a sacrifice? Maybe it was this morning. No, honey, you're right. I'm wrong. Did that come out of any of your lips this morning? Oh, no, my 4-year-old daughter, let me do this for you. Or, no, you have the last of that. I'll do something else, even though I really would like that right now. Or, let me open the door for you and serve you instead of myself. Or, hopefully this isn't the case, the coffee's almost out. You take the last cup. Yeah, some of you are saying, no way. Oh, but to sacrifice. This is how we know love, that one lays down their life for their friend. As Jesus said in John 15, verse 13. 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 24. As we look at these three points, we learn how to love from Cain. We learn how to love from Jesus Christ. And we learn how to love from God our Father. John shows us these three individuals as he speaks of this message of loving one another. Verse 11, for this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Verse 16, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone who has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth, and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Oh, how clear it is in a world that is so unclear in this day and age. A world that says anything goes, and the truth is whatever you want to make of it. But Father, you state that your word given to us is the way, the truth, and the life. That truth came even down in the form of a person, Jesus Christ. And he showed us the truth. He showed us what life looks like, eternal life. Living life, true life. It was seen in the life of Jesus Christ. And what that true life showed us is that sin and death and Satan could not hold him down. But that eternal life rose from the dead, conquered sin, conquered death, defeated our foe, Satan himself, who will one day be vanquished to the lake of fire, never more to have any power or control in this world. Lord, may our hearts even be assured of these truths this morning as we look at your text. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 11 says, this is the message you heard from the beginning. John again reminds us, let's go back, let's hit the pause button, let's remove all of the other voices and the other teachings that were going around in this time, even this beginning stages of what they called Gnosticism, that you could become enlightened and you could know all things, and what you knew and what you gained and the acquirement of all that was inside of you was enough for happiness and peace and health and prosperity. It was in you. The answer was in yourself. And the message that John wants them to hear again, which was taught from the beginning, is God is life and truth and wisdom and all things good and righteous. For all have sinned and fallen short of that. The goodness and the perfection and the answers are not found in us. They're found in our perfect God and Father. And from the beginning, which can relate back all the way to Genesis, God spoke and everything was created. But it also relates to the book of John, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And that Word was Jesus Christ, and He came in flesh and showed us who God was. 1 John says, God is love. And the best way we know that that can be true is we see it in the Son, Jesus Christ. He was the personal example of love to us. Jesus was love. Everything He did, how He walked, how He spoke, how He showed compassion, how He sacrificed on a daily basis to serve someone else, and how He gave the ultimate sacrifice on the cross. This is how we know love. And if you remember the commandment that Jesus gave as He was ministering on the earth, He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I loved you, you also are to love one another. John 13:34. And that's stated in different ways in each gospel, but John 13:34. We've said that before, but isn't it interesting that Jesus says, this is a new commandment I give you? Well, no, love was in the Old Testament. Love was something that God spoke on years and years ago. This love's not a new thing. Why would Jesus say, here's a new commandment I give you? Because He says, you love one another just as I have loved you. Jesus had come on the scene, and now Jesus has shown us what love actually looks like. And so Jesus says, here is a new command, a new fresh way of looking at love. Look at how I lived and served and bled and sacrificed for the sins of the world. This is the love that God shows us. And He says, love one another with this kind of love. That's what 1 John says as he begins this section. The message that you've heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. And he goes straight into a contrast, not like this man named Cain. If you don't know the story, I would encourage you, and actually I want to read a little bit of it anyway, from Genesis chapter 4. We find the story of the brothers, Cain and Abel. And out of this comes the language that Scripture uses in the New Testament of righteous Abel, who was slain by his brother Cain. We'll just begin here, Genesis 4, verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering He had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. And the story goes that the Lord came and asked Cain, "Where is your brother?" And Cain had to give an account of what we find to be the first murder of a brother against a brother. Right after the first sin in Genesis chapter 3. What's this interesting to note is as God provided covering for Adam and Eve in the garden in chapter 3, it most likely required a sacrifice. They were covered in skins of an animal. And I and a lot of other commentators believe this was when God showed this is the institution of the sacrificial process, that I even sacrificed an animal to cover you, Adam and Eve. And interestingly enough, it's Abel who brings an animal to the Lord for sacrifice. It's Cain who brings fruit. And yet we don't want to speak more than the text speaks. We don't want to conjecture why Abel's was accepted and Cain's was not. But Cain was angry, Genesis says. And the Lord says, sin is crouching at the door, but you must not give in to its temptation, its desire. And the Lord knew what was going on in Cain's heart. He hated his brother. He was angry that Abel was accepted and Cain was not. And this is what 1 John picks up in verse 12. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Very black and white from John. And this is not to say that a murderer can't come to Christ, but this is the title given of someone who is presently doing these things. You cannot love Christ and murder. Take the life of anyone, your brother, someone even that you hate, or a Christian person, you would think. I would pray that in your heart, that's just inconceivable. When God has come into you and changed your spirit, what John is saying, there can't be in you this hatred for your sisters and brothers in the Lord. And what this is supposed to do is, again, bring you assurance of what God has done in your heart. How can you hate your brothers and say that you are one of God's children? How can you hate your sisters in the Lord and say that you are one of God's children? There is now this bond, this unity that God has put inside of us through His Spirit that produces a supernatural love for one another. Not just a niceness, not even just a service that we would give to one another, but this kind of love, the love that is told here, is a love of sacrifice. What do we learn from Cain? We learn that the seed of sin begins with bitterness, with anger, with holding something against someone else. This is why it is so important that we seek reconciliation, we seek forgiveness quickly. Because that seed that we hold on to of bitterness, of unforgiveness, of maybe we would call it hatred, It's not idle. It grows in our hearts. It's a seed of cancer. It's a seed that is, as God tells Cain, it's crouching at the door, ready to pounce. It's alive, and it will and does take many down its road of destruction and death. For whoever does not love abides in death. Verse 14. I pray you hear this from John, and this is not easy, but Christ changes our hearts to be able to love even the ones that we don't want to love, be able to forgive even the ones we don't want to forgive, for we have been forgiven of everything. Everything that's been against us, the guilt, the sin, the shame, the condemnation has been wiped away through Jesus Christ and the blood that He shed on our behalf, the forgiveness that He has given to us. If He has forgiven us of everything in our past, our present, and our future, 1 John is calling us to say we must forgive, not just forgive, but even love our enemies and love our sisters and brothers in the Lord. And I pray that you would say, yeah, there is this new bond inside of my heart to actually serve my sister or my brother in the Lord, to sacrifice my time or my talents or my money to help and give towards someone else. And here John is speaking of brothers and sisters in the family of God. He's saying, oh, how could we dismiss and hate our own family, the ones who've come to know Jesus Christ? That is not of the Lord. That is of the evil one. The same evil one who was controlling Cain all those days before. So we learn from Cain the devastation, the danger, the avoidance we must have of anger, of jealousy, of bitterness against another. For what happened in Cain's story is that he was taken over by sin. He took it and he made it grow, and it ended up in his murder of his own brother. But the good news of Jesus Christ, and it's not just murder, it's any sin. Our sins can be forgiven. They can be washed clean. Murderers can be children of the Lord. And I could go on and on. Whatever title or whatever past you might be tied to or you can't let go of, that has been forgiven and can be forgiven in Jesus Christ. If that is even something that is holding you back this morning, well, I can't accept the love of God. I can't receive His grace. You don't know what has happened in the past. You don't know what I have done. God even forgives murderers. You know the story of the Apostle Paul? He was a murderer. He went around seeking to put Christians in jail, sentencing some to their death. He hated, that same word, he hated Christians. And we know the story of Saul became Paul. God can come in and change any one of us and change our past to be a completely different future. So may we learn from Cain. We do not want to walk the way of hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness. But instead, secondly, we want to learn from our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we learn from Jesus what love looks like. Verse 16 through 18. By this we know love. And this word again, know, is this. We have a complete understanding. And John speaking to this church after the life of Christ, we know now what love looks like. We know how Christ lived on the earth. And we, as the church, even now, have a bigger picture and understand it even more. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have all the Gospels showing us every facet of our Savior and how He lived. We certainly know love. And how do we know love? That He laid down His life for us. This love is in a person. It's not in a definition. John didn't write out a description of love. He said love is described by pointing you to Him, Jesus Christ. We learn from Jesus that what love looks like is that Jesus laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. That's kind of why I asked the question in the outset. Have you sacrificed? What have you sacrificed? What have you done in serving someone else? What have I done, even maybe this morning? Has it been about Paul Parker? Or have there been little glimpses of our Savior and how we serve someone else? Or we sacrifice our time? Or we go out of our way and think of another person? Jesus laid down His own life for us. He gave everything for us. And He says, this is the same kind of love I am teaching you to go and love one another with. Wow. Oh, how easily my thought goes, well, what does Paul Parker want? And Jesus says, I gave my life to serve the other. How can I ask, well, what would encourage you or you or you? How can I come and give a hug or a hand on the shoulder or let me pray with you? Or here's a gift. Or I made you a meal, which I've seen happening in the last few weeks. Of how we say, you know what? I have the resources and I can serve someone else with my resources. And you're sacrificing time, talents maybe. I don't know if it's a sacrifice for the men's bake-off, but you know what? We're giving of our talents, whatever they might be. We hope they served you and your taste buds well. But maybe they didn't. But we sacrifice time and energy. And some of us might have had to try our recipe twice to serve all of you. How are we serving one another as Christ laid down His life for us? And this is so convicting, verses 17 and 18. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. We know love because Jesus didn't just come and speak love. He didn't just say words of love. He didn't just have wonderful messages for us. He demonstrated His love. His speech went to His actions. Story after story. Jesus, would you come and see my child? Jesus, would you come to my daughter? She's at death's door. Jesus, would you heal this man, this woman? Jesus. And He wasn't just all talk. He moved His feet. He sacrificed the hours of the day. He even served crowds into the late hours of the evening. He showed by deed and truth what love looked like. That's so convicting for all of us. That love is not just in what we say, it's in what we do. Jesus is the ultimate expression of that. He didn't just say, I love you, your sins are forgiven in word. But indeed, he forgave our sins by going to the cross. Oh, how gross it would have been if he had spread this good news that you could be forgiven. Your sins wiped away, you've been made clean, and yet no cross, no actual forgiveness, no actual cleansing from our sins. But he loved us by also dying on the cross, suffering for us. And not staying dead. He rose from the dead to show that truly indeed our sins are forgiven. His word is true. Everything he said is true. His promises are true. He is greater than all things. And that's where we get to this last point. We not only learn from Jesus that he loved us by laying down his life and by showing his deeds, not just his words, but we learn from the Father, from God himself. For we all become Christians who get to this point in verse 19. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and he knows everything. I pray this verse is an encouragement to you because we all can get to a point where we are feeling unassured. We are doubting. We are even hearing these words this morning. You are called to love your brothers and sisters. If anyone has hatred for their brothers and sisters, how can the love of God be in them? Black and white, so strong. The language of John. Or if you only love in your words and your speech and not with your deeds and with truth, how can this love of God be in you? Well, John wants to reassure, as the word is there, our hearts. And how do our hearts get reassured? Verse 20, whenever our hearts condemn us, thoughts, accusations, doubts, he calls me to love my brothers and sisters, but just yesterday I said something I shouldn't have said. That wasn't loving my sister or my brother. I'm guilty. My heart is accusing me, telling me, how can you live up to this? Whenever our hearts condemn us, here's the good news. God is greater than our hearts. And he knows everything. And what God knows is that he knows that this sin within us is not completely removed. We are still sinners who are going to sin against one another. We're going to even still feel this condemnation at times. But God is greater than our hearts. Even if our hearts condemn us, even if accusations come into our life, God is greater. And you know what God says? Romans 8, verse 1. For those who are in Jesus Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. What God says to our hearts and to these condemnations, to these accusations, I have forgiven that. My son Jesus Christ died for that. I don't look at you and condemn you any longer. You are no longer guilty. The shame has been removed. There is no condemnation. I see you as a son or a daughter in the kingdom of God, forgiven. Amen? That is good news of what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. That when our hearts even try to continue to accuse us and condemn us. Oh, you're not living up to this standard of holiness. You fell short. You said or did something against your brother or sister. That hurt. God is greater. And what God has done for us is greater still. He has offered and provided forgiveness. For even when we don't love, as John calls us, and as God calls us to love. Not do we just turn to God, but we also turn to Him in prayer. Beloved, verse 21, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. This confidence before God is this language of we can go to the Lord. We can go to Him with everything on our hearts in prayer. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And here are the two things that is His commandment. We believe in the Son, Jesus Christ. So that's what I would ask you. Have you believed in Jesus Christ? That's the first. And we love one another. Is there something new within you, a new spirit in you that has bonded you to brothers and sisters in this family, in the worldwide family of God? Story after story I hear from you, I could tell some myself, when you go traveling and you run across another believer, a Christian, there's right away this connection, this bond, this communication that you can have. Oh, well, where you live? What church are you attending? How did you come to know Jesus Christ? I want to hear your story. What are you doing right now? What? There's this automatic uniting love for a brother or sister in the Lord. Even if our hearts condemn us, we learn from God that He is greater than our hearts. Is that the message you need to hear this morning? Maybe under guilt. Maybe wondering, how can I live up to the standard that the Scripture gives over and over again of holiness? And you need to be reminded that God has provided a way for you to live in holiness. And it is not through you living up to perfection and obeying every command. It's through turning to a Savior, Jesus Christ. And God says, I have provided a way. And I know there is still a battle. You are not completely done with your sin. It is in your body, your flesh. It is crouching at the door, as Genesis says. But God is greater. He has provided a way of escape for us, from sin to life, to forgiveness from sin, to new desires and new affections for what God loves, to new loves, that you would love one another. Even sacrifice for one another, your time, your talents, your money. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us. We learn from Christ, we learn from God, and we can even add another one. We learn from the Spirit. Do you have the Spirit of God inside of you, reassuring you, reminding you, yes, my desires, my affections, my love has changed? You know what? Some of you have a story. I used to hate everything. I used to hate my own actions. And I used to be separated from the people who reached out to me and cared for me. And you might have a story. That hatred was changed. Jesus took away that hatred and replaced it with love. Replaced it with humility. Replaced it with restoration of relationships, maybe with friends and family. But that's what God does and can do. He takes those who are full of the evil one and full of hatred, and he can bring a new love inside, beginning in our hearts, to change everything we're about. For some of you, to love family members that are difficult to love, to love your spouse as Christ loved the church, to sacrifice for your spouse, as Ephesians chapter 5 says, as Christ sacrificed and gave his life for the church, to serve the other instead of serving ourselves. This is what God does inside of us. And this is the message that we have heard, that he has changed our hearts so that we can love one another. So as you go and as you love, you can learn from Cain of what not to do, of the danger of hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness. You can learn from our Savior that he sacrificed the greatest sacrifice, his own life. He gave it up for us. And you learn from the Father and the Spirit that gives witness inside of us, that when there is condemnation, when there is thoughts or accusations spoken into our life, there is one who's even greater than those things, God himself. And he says, that is not who you are. Don't listen to those things. I am greater than even your heart, your thoughts, those accusations. And you are a child. You are in my kingdom. I have bought you with the blood of my Son, Jesus Christ. And what does Jesus say? My Father has them in his hands, and no one can snatch them out. What a beautiful promise. God says, you are mine, and that is not going to change. I am greater than even those accusations and condemnations. This is the love that God has shown toward us. May we go forth with the love that he has given to us to love one another with sacrificial, self-giving kind of love that is asking, how can I bless another, and not, what can I get out of this? Such a convicting message this morning. As we love one another, may we love as Jesus Christ loved us. And oh, what a love he gave toward us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. There is so much more in here that we could have looked deeper into, felt in some ways of just getting an overview of these three stories of what we learn from Cain and from Christ and from our Father God in heaven. Lord, thank you for sending Jesus Christ, paying for the penalty of our sin and giving us freedom, freedom from the guilt and the shame and the accusations and the condemnations, to live unto Jesus Christ. Thank you for being that sacrifice for us so that we can go and love others with the sacrificial love that you showed us. Lord, we can't do this in our own strength. Lord, we can't do this by just resolving. We ask that you would do this through us, that you would make our hearts love others as you have loved us, that even maybe this morning there is someone who needs to forgive another as you have forgiven us, to show the love of Christ even through forgiveness. Oh Lord, what a testimony that would be. Thank you so much for how you came, you lived a life of righteousness on our behalf. You died in our place. You rose again. And someday we will be with you with no more pain, no more tears, no more sin. And we will understand and know completely what this love is all about. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.